Today's daf in Masechet Nedarim, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Chet. And we were talking about the issue yesterday of the difference between the Beferush Lashon of Mufar versus an implication of Mufar when it's coupled with an action. We also learned about the difference between the language in which a Chochem is Mefer, in which a Matir and a Chochem is Mefer. And if they reverse it, then we learned it's not usable because it means completely different things. A Baal has no power to be matir. That means has no power to uproot the netter at its shoresh, literally uproot. Masha Einkein, the Chocham, has no koach to cancel, which is what the Baal does from this point forward. He says cancel. Where would he cancel from? The whole way that it works is by turning the netter into what is essentially a neder ta'ut, because the guy is saying, look, if I had known that somebody had mentioned it at the time, obviously I would never have made the neder, but I was monofocused and I didn't realize it, I wasn't thinking, etc. That was the last thing that we learned, and it was based on the pasuk, which opens up the parshas Nedarim in Parshat Matot, Zeh HaDavar. So Zeh HaDavar means exactly as this, and no other way. So remember that this is the Lashon, because we're going to be looking at this pasuk more closely in a moment, which is the Daber al Aharon vel banav el kol b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem zeh hadavar asher tziva Hashem limor. Tanya Idach. I think we might have even done it. Let's just do it again. Tanya Idach, and right at the top of the daf, at the top line, the Braita puts it like this, Zeh HaDavar, Baal Mefer, Ve'en Chacham Mefer. Sheyachol, you might have thought if a Baal, who cannot be Matir to be Oiker and Neder, has this immense power to, yeah, we definitely did this, has this immense power to be Mefer, so a Chacham who can even be Oiker the Neder Meikor, Koshekain can simply cancel the Neder, right? And he would be able to, Eino Dinshe Mefer, Tamalomar Zeh HaDavar. That means the Baal is Mefer, Ve'in Chacham Mefer. Now let's continue on in the Limudim from the Pasuk and see, we've already talked about, even though the Gemara didn't mention it, Beferish, and we never really saw the interrelationship in terms of the words of Rabbi Nosson, but we've expressed before that the interconnection of Zeh HaDavar with Shchutei Chutz and the drive that people have to create their own systems of worship, which is the Asiya of Obama, and which we've already understood is something that is very, very much part of our own modern milieu, because people today have the Bomas in terms of the way that they like to define Judaism in their own way, write their own midrashim, decide which mitzvahs are relevant, which mitzvahs are less relevant, what's comfortable, what's uncomfortable, and so on and so forth. That's the idea of the Boma, and that has always been the Achilles heel of Klal Yisrael. As we saw throughout the Deres, all of the Melachim that were fighting against Avodah Zarah were able to be Eikar Avodah Zarah, but not the Bomas. Oda am mizabchim umekatrim al habamot. This was something that was extremely difficult because it seems so right. After all, I'm doing Avodas Hashem, and I'm doing it in a way that is deeply personal and cared about and so on. So that idea of a Boma is also the classic Zeh HaDavar. It's about as close, if you think about it, as close to the psychology of Asiyas Neder that's imaginable. Because Asiyas Neder is basically the same thing. I am going to use the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu empowered me to make Hegdash and to give an additional sanctity to things. I am going to sanctify my feelings about something by ushering myself from talking to this bum, you know, so this is a great sanctity. But I mean, I can do it also, you know, I've been very, very given to getting drunk lately. I'll usher scotch on myself, whatever. So it's definitely, you know, it sounds really good. It's an extension of the idea of Kedusha to other things. And it's almost irresistible. But it's the same Zeh HaDavar as making a Boma, which was Reb Nosson's beautiful point. and clearly relates to the Mokar, even though Reb Nosson didn't use this as the basis, but it's the same idea of projecting what is good. So now we want to see the actual limudim from the interrelationship of the Zehadavar that was said by Shrut Echutz and the Zehadavar, Asher Tzivashem Lemar, that I just quoted, which has to do with the Shchita of Chutz L'machana and Akrova Chutz L'machana and so on. Exactly the same lashon. Zehadavar Asher Tzivashem, which we find in Matot, and the Zehadavar Asher Tzivashem, which we find Legabe Shrut Echutz. What is the connection between them on the level of the limud, on the level of the drosha lahalacha? So there says, explains the Braita, that the idea is, ma b'shchut echutz, even though it says zehadavar, there's a big difference between the two parshios. Matot is directed to matot. That's all it talks about, roshei ha-matot. So Moshe seems to be speaking only to the Nesiim and to the most chash of a people. And he's not giving this over to all of Klal Yisrael. So apparently, you need to be a member of the elite in order to be able to be Isaac in this din of Hatarat Nedarim. And when it comes to Shchut Echutz, over there it says beferish that Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to everybody, because it says, Daber al Aaron v'al banav v'al kol b'nei Yisrael v'amarta aleihem zeh hadavar asher tzivah Hashem limor. So that difference actually teaches us something about both of these situations, and in fact, even though they're contradictory, we learn one out from the other, because it's a classic Gezeirah Shoveh, right? So Nemar kan zeh hadavar, v'nemar lahalan zeh hadavar b'shchut echutz. Just like by Shchut Echutz, if you read the Pasuk, it's very clear that Moshe Rabbeinu is talking not only to Aharon, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Daber al Aharon v'al banav. Yes, on the one hand, that's the Kayanim, but it continues on to say, Ve'el kol b'nei Yisrael. So just like over there, it's Aaron, Ubonav, and Kol Yisrael. They're all standing there. Af Parshat Nedarim, even though it only mentions, Vayidaber Moshe El Roshei HaMatot Livnei Yisrael. And it doesn't say that Moshe Rabbeinu addressed this to all of Klal Yisrael. Nonetheless, we must understand it was, in fact, meant for everybody. Well, I mean, why does it say Roshei HaMatot? And in fact, the opposite is also true. Umakan Roshei HaMatot, just like Parshas Adorim was addressed only to the elite, that they are Roshei Matot, and therefore they are more roi for Sanhedrin, for Dayanut, for doing things that have to do with creating the halacha. So too is the Parsha of Shchut Echutz, Roshei Matot. What does that even mean? I mean, how can you assert that differences that are extremes from one another, that each one reflects on the other one? So therefore, says the Gemara, okay, now let's try to understand what this is meant to mean. When you say Parshat Nedarim, that we learn out that even though it's addressed to Roshei HaMatot, nonetheless, it's clear from Shchut Echutz that it's also addressed to Kol Yisrael, what does that teach us? Oh, Om Rav Achav Bar Yaakov teaches us an amazing thing, that any member of Yisrael can be part of three Hedyotot that are going to be Matir and Neder. So you would have thought, if it only said Roshei HaMatot, that you have to be, maybe, we'll talk in a few minutes, we'll talk about what would I have thought? Would I have thought that Roshei HaMatot means that you need to be a Samuch, like Roy for Sanhedrin? Or would Roshei HaMatot mean that you need to be an expert? Now, those are different things. And in fact, it's really a machloket in terms of the Rishonim. Do we need to have a somuch, or do we need to have only an expert? So as the Rambam Paskins, we can have even an expert. Kol shehu rav muvhak can be matir nedarim yechideh. We'll talk about that. But in any event, over here, clearly, if there's a contradiction, the only way to resolve the contradiction is by recognizing that there are two completely different sets of HaTorah, which is really what started us off along this line, remember? The Mishnah about Shabbos, right? Because we were talking about Shabbos. What was the problem of Shabbos? Was that you're doing a din on Shabbos. That's what it looks like, and therefore we're going to aser it. We thought there was a difference between going to Shlosha or between going to Echad. So we're following along naturally what it was that really lies behind the assumptions that we were making and the intuitive sense that we have about the relationship of neder to court processes. Because think for a moment. If we have a contradiction between Kol Yisrael Omdim on the one hand, which we're learning out from Shkutei Chutz to Nedarim, and Rosh HaMatot on the other hand, and you're telling me that we have no choice but to recognize that there are two sets, one in which the individual as a Rosh HaMateh can deal with the neder, and the other in which anyone from Yisrael can deal with the neder. Where did we jump from one to three? How did that happen? Why one to three? Why not one to two? And say that if you have one person who's going to be doing it Yechidi, then it's only at Rosh Mateh. If it's Kol Yisrael, then you can only do it if you've got two people. But where did we figure out that you've got three people? So obviously, the three people comes from our general understanding that Ein Beit Din Shakur, right? In other words, it's a given that whenever we talk about something that is being dealt with in a Beit Din, then you cannot have a situation where there won't be a rov, and you will be now tied. That doesn't make sense. How can you get a din when you're tied? Memela, there's no such thing as a Beit Din Shakur, because you cannot create a definition. What if you've got both deot in different directions? This is a profound understanding of the nature of din. You've got to be able to define. Therefore, an entity which is not going to ever necessarily come to that crucial point of defining is by definition itself, not din. That's the point. So you need three. But wait a minute. I thought that the idea over here is not related to Bezdin. So why did we just take for granted that if it isn't one, it's three? So apparently, there is more of a relationship to Bezdin than we realized, because otherwise, how do we even know that we're talking about three? Okay, in that case, you have to wonder about the difference between the one and the three, because if indeed the one is being learned out from something that relates to Bezdin, then he would have to be Somuch. He would have to be Shayach to being in Sanhedrin. Okay, again, as I said, we'll talk about this, and it's a machlokas rishonim. In any event, so we've gone from one to three. Therefore, there's two completely different inyonim. Yochid mumcha, which we're not 100% sure what that means yet. Somuch, or just expert. And shalosh adyotos. Now, it's also a given, as the Ran points out in numerous places, that even, because this creates a further pressure on us. If we're speaking to all of Yisrael, why wouldn't that allow anyone to be part of this group of three? In other words, what is the contrast? Let's assume for a moment that a yochid mumcha does not have to be samuch. So what's the difference between that yochid mumcha and a head yot? Technically speaking, it should be just black and white. It's binary. In other words, either you're a yochid mumcha or you're a head yot. And yet, as we see in many places, where, as the Ran points out, you must have someone who is not truly a hedyot, but he has to be at least sovir, meaning that he has to be able to understand what it means when he's explained something. He's used to thinking, and you can explain the difference. We speak about this every year when we do Atar Sedorim. You can explain the difference between charata and petach to him. And he would have an insight into the difference between being oiker and neder in terms of making it a neder ta'ut, or between what a baal does. He won't get confused by thinking that since I am now empowered, so therefore I can cancel nedarim. He has to have an insight into the meaning of hafara, and therefore he'll know that ein poschim b'neilad, and he'll understand that it has to be applicable to the moment of making the neder, right? But then we're actually not saying that it's binary. We're saying that Okay, so we have three shlavim. We have the mumcha, and we have the gomer, not gomer, but a savir, the masbir leva savir. You can explain to him, and he's used to thinking. And then you have people that are simply not sophisticated enough in being able to make those levels of distinctions. I mean, we all know people like that, where the person is simply a bore. He's just not used to thinking. And he will not know what it is that you're talking about. So if that's the case, where do we get this? How do we know it? I mean, so the Ron suggests that maybe it's simply if somebody cannot think even when it's explained to him, so then he is considered to be just what's known in the Gemara as sabi de bahata. Weird. These are sabi. These are zakanim. Yeah, there's zakanim that are like basically they're already aver batel. I mean, what do you mean? There's zakanim. How can we call them zakanim? Zakanim is supposed to mean some relationship to chachma. So therefore, if it doesn't even come under that category, it's kimat not human. And therefore, what are they going to be matter? They don't know what they're being matter. They don't know what a netter is, and so on and so forth. Okay, I mean, is that so pashut? You can see how this interrelates with the question of, so what does the Yachid Mumcha mean? Now, particularly, if we really have four different madrigas, because we have only two psukim, and the truth is that we have four different qualities that we need to think about. We have someone who's roi to be a dayan in Sanhedrin. That means that he is samuch. He literally has a smicha from the Moshe Rabbeinu handed on door to door. He's roi for Sanhedrin, not what we call smicha, which is a borrowed term. He's really a samuch. The second madrega is that he's a mumcha. The third madrega is that he is savir. The fourth madrega he is, as the Ron calls it, sabi de bahata. And so we're taking two sets, because that's all we have a right to, from the two psukim, and we're applying it to three and four categories, the way the Ron understands it. So you can see why it's not so pashut that this is all based on simply the question of where do we say Zahadavar to Rosh HaMatot, and where do we say Zahadavar to Kol Yisrael Omdim, which is the Lashon of this drasha here in other places, Kol Yisrael Omdim. Okay, now we're going to see that there's more to it, and there's something that we haven't taken into consideration, which we're about to look at now, which on the surface strikes us as being really strange. And now this new piece allows additional information in terms of these sets. And it turns out it's not as simple as we thought. So now let's take a look at the continuation. We've understood how it is that Kol Yisrael Omdim is Nogea Nidorim. How is Rosh HaMatot Nogea Shchutei Chutz? Is there something to do with it? It's only if a Rosh Mateh Shochet Pechutz? What would that mean? So what does that tell us? So we said, okay, this is Lahakshi Shlosh Adyotos. Let's see that inside. So if you're saying Shlosh Adyotos, how do you explain the fact that the Torah says not like that? The Torah says Rosh HaMatot, Om Rav Chista Vitem Rav Yochanan, the Rosh HaMatot is Yochid Mumcha. Fine. But now what about the other way around? We're saying that we're going to apply the din of Rosh HaMatot for Shchut HaChutz. Where is that? Lama Yochata, explain that to me. Imagine a situation. A guy goes ahead and he's Shochet B'chutz, and people tell him, you're crazy. That was an Isser Karis. What's the matter with you? It's not, you can't just be Shochet on a Bama. So the guy realizes he did something wrong. He can go and be matir the Hegdash. And then his Shchut HaChutz will not be Shchut HaChutz because it wasn't Kodesh. So if he wants to shech something b'chutz, go right ahead. Eat whatever you want. Because since this is Eiker, the Neder, so to speak, and this is another profound interrelationship, Rabbi Yisai, between Nidre Hegdash and Nidre Isser, that all along we've said that all of this talk in the introductions to Maseches Nedarim and to the understanding of there being two completely separate parshas in the Torah, one which deals with Nidre Hegdash, one which deals with Nidre Yisr, it's not as clear-cut as you think. Because remember that Nidre Hegdash may be the entire basis, which is the Rosh Hashita, that it's always atvasa, essentially, even if you don't say so, it's like a yad to atvasa. And now we just discovered something even more powerful, that it's truly, Hegdash itself is truly a neder, in the sense that you can be matir it and undo the Hegdash. And if that's the case, the whole parsha of Shrut Echutz is exposed as, from the beginning, it's a projection. The first projection is the fact that you think this is Hegdash. It's not just a projection. Since it is Hegdash, I can shecht it wherever I want. No, it's more than that. What makes you think it's Hegdash? Well, I was Magdash it. So, go and be Matir the Hegdash. Whoa. That is such an amazing insight into the idea of Shrut Echutz, right? Because like this, you say, listen, the givens of what's holy, okay, I have a right to accept the givens. What I want to do is I want to extend my connection to the givens. And I'll do the Shechita on Obama. It turns out there never were any givens. The whole thing was imaginary. You thought it was Hegdash, it isn't really Hegdash. Okay, so then if that's the case, the two parshas are so beautifully, so deeply interrelated. That's what it's coming to tell me. Sheyesh she'la b'Hegdash. Brilliant. Okay, now the question is, what according, we don't even get a smile from a Rebbe, nothing. You'd think something like that would be amazing, especially to a Rebbe who's a chosin. I don't know. Maybe it's the lack of light on the face. Maybe we just didn't see the smile properly. Anyway, what would you do according to Beit Shammai? Beit Shammai, remember, holds Hegdesh Ta'ut is nonetheless Hegdesh. Now, if Hegdesh Ta'ut is Hegdesh, how can you ever be Matir, a Neder of Hegdesh? Because it's clear that Hatarat Nedarim by a Chacham will always have to do with looking back to be Oiker the Neder because, well, I never would have made a Neder like that, so essentially becomes a ta'ut. And we know that nidrei ta'ut are not considered to be nedarim. But the question is Hegdash ta'ut Hegdash nonetheless? Since Beit Shammai holds Hegdash ta'ut is Hegdash, then it turns out that we cannot apply the zeha davar of nidrei iser to the parsha of Hegdash. Because what's he going to do? You're going to sit there and you're going to say, well, if you had known this and that, who cares? You made a mistake. Who cares? When you're talking about Hegdash, there's no mistakes. We're talking about things that are too serious. You know, imagine a guy coming and saying to his wife, boy, did I make a mistake in giving you Kiddushin. You know, I changed my mind. It's not going to help. It's too serious, right? Remember, Chassan, you're getting yourself into a real hole now. Okay, you better make sure you know what you're doing. So, if that's the case, according to Beit Shammai, what are we going to do with this whole point of the Gzera Shava? I don't understand. LeBeit Shammai d'Omer ein she'ela b'Hegdesh. So then, how does Rosh HaMatot teach us anything by Shrut Echutz that is Gzera Shava from Nedarim? What are you going to do? L'ma Yilchata. Rabbi Isai, says the Gemara, you're right. The truth is that Beit Shammai was never mekabel this Gzera Shava. And the sheet of Beit Shammai is interrelated to the fact that they don't have this Gzera Shava. The moment that you have this Gzera Shava, you have no choice but to accept that Hegdash Ta'ut is not Hegdash. Because otherwise, why did the Torah tell us the dinim of Nedarim to Hegdash? So then, okay, according to Beit Shammai, he does not have less like Gzera Shava. But then if that's the case, what's the point of Zeha Davar? I thought that the way we've been understanding it until now is that Zeha Davar, because of the fact that it created a contradiction between this Zeha Davar and the other Zeha Davar, this Zeha Davar is said in front of Kol Yisrael, and the other Zeha Davar by Nedarim is said only to Rosh HaMatot. So out of the very fact that we're contrasting Zeha Davar as this Gezerah Shava, and we're teaching one to the other, I now understand why it says Zeha Davar. But according to Beit Shammai, why does it say Zeha Davar? It's not coming to teach me Gezerah Shava because you can't make Gezerah Shava on your own, and they weren't Mekabalist Gezerah Shava. So what's the point? Why does it say this idea of Zeha Davar at all? So, B'Parshat Nedarim, what was the point of Zeha Davar? Well, wait a minute. We know what the point was. We were just learning that. Zadavar means it has to be said with that language. A chacham has to use the lashon of hatara. A baal needs to use the lashon of hafara. Now, that's a perfectly valid reason to say zadavar. So therefore, that's clear. Okay, fine, that's clear, true. But why does it say Zeh HaDavar in Shchut Eichutz? Is it teaching us anything? Zeh HaDavar for what? No, that comes to tell me that we're only going to be Chayev on Shchita and not on Malika. That would be the point. Because, look, since the Parsha was talking about being Shechet Vachutz, so therefore, I would say, okay, normally, when you do Malika on a bird, so that Malika is the Shechita vis-a-vis Hegdash, right? Because that's how you're matir a bird. In which case, if I do Malika, which is done with, if I'm the Kohen, which is done with my fingernail and putting it through the neck from behind, it's the opposite of Shechita, in every way. I'm pressing downwards, and I'm cutting from the back instead of from the front, and I'm not doing the act of shchita moving back and forth at all. So it's okay, but that is what shchita consists of when it comes to a bird. So if I do that b'chutz on a bird, I would be chayev. No, kamashwan zadavar, only what we've been discussing. We've been discussing shchita, and we have not been discussing malika. Okay, very good. But now I have another problem. How did we come up with the idea that there were only two separate sets? Or that there even were two separate sets? If we see that the din of Nedarim is said bedavka to Rashi HaMatot, and so far, the only way that we have heard that it might not be limited to Rashi HaMatot was from the Gzeres Shavah to Shchut Eichutz, where it says, Beferish in the Pasuk L'chol Yisrael. But over here by Nedarim, it does not say L'chol Yisrael. So then if Beit Shammai doesn't have the Gzeres Shavah, oh my gosh, so this basic din he won't know. How is he going to learn that there's a din of Shalosh Adyotos? It doesn't appear anywhere in the Parsha of Nedarim. That is a very serious problem. So where does he know it from? Here comes a completely new piece of information that we never took into consideration before, never understood it, and introduces a reason for us, if we do hold of Zeh HaDavar, to now have more than just two possibilities. And you see how this would impact the question of Smichus versus the Mumcha versus the Shalosh Hadyotas. We've got our happy pair is very happy with this sugya, Baruch Hashem. It is a dugma to other people, you see? The fact that their heads are always lifted up to the screen, that is not Sesame Street. They want to assure you there's something much more powerful that they're watching. And that is Lord of the, I mean, the Daf Yomi. All right, So what is this new limud that could possibly give us an understanding outside of the pasuk of Zeh HaDavar? This is amazing. And it strikes you as being like, what in the world are you talking about? Listen to this crazy drasha. Okay, so Beit Shammai says, I have a new place to learn it from. I learn it out from this amazing drasha of Rav Asi Bar Nosson. What in the world does Vayedaber Hashem mit Moshe? What is this talking about? What does this have to do with Nedarim? Okay, well, here is the Braita that Beit Shammai is basically part of. So, Vatanya. So it says in the Braita like this. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer Moadei. Notice. It only says Mo'adei Hashem, but it doesn't say anything about Shabbos, does it? V'lo nemra Shabbat Reshit Imahem. Benazai says, nah, that's not the thing that's important. What's really important, notice, it only says Mo'adei Hashem, but it doesn't say anything about Nedarim. What? Right, it doesn't say anything about a lot of things, you know. Okay, but it doesn't say anything about Nedarim. So now the obvious question is, as must have occurred to everyone the moment that you heard those words, What do you mean it doesn't say Shabbos? It does say Shabbos. That's one of the biggest problems of Eilam Moadei Hashem, Sheshes Yomim, that talks about Shabbos. What does that have to do with Eilam Moadei Hashem? So I understand. You're taking the very thing that drives everyone crazy when they open up the parasha of the Moadim in Pinchas, and all of a sudden Shabbos appears in the list of Moadim. So what are you telling me? Notice it only says Moadim. It doesn't say a word about Shabbos. Yes, it does. So ask the Gemara, okay, can I understand this? Rav Asi bar Natan was kashyalei. Rav Asi bar Natan looks at this bright and he says, I don't understand. Kashyalei amasnis, what kind of price is this? And he went to Narda to ask Rav Sheshes. This is driving him crazy. Rav Sheshes wasn't home. Well, he was pretty desperate. He was ready to follow Rav Sheshes wherever he went. So he finds out that Rav Sheshes went to Mechuza. He goes and he travels all the way to Mechuza in order to be able to ask, could you please explain this brisa? The brisa says, Moadei Hashem nemru v'lo nemra Shabbat parashiti mayam. It does say Shabbat. V'aktiv Shabbat mayam. And what is this other craziness? Now here, in asking the Kasha, he provides us with our answer. And what do you mean when you say, Moadei Hashem nemru, v'lo nemra pashat nidarim imahem? What is the next word after the closing of Pinchas? I must tell you, watching that sign is a lot less threatening than that frightening jar of cyanide. Thank you, El Roy. So, what's the next word? The next word is "Vayedaber Moshe El Roshei Hamatot Zehadavar." So, in other words, we go directly from Pinchas and its closure of Moadei Hashem directly to Zehadavar. Now, obviously, says Rav Asi bar Natan, I mean, Reish Lakish didn't pick out of a hat that it doesn't say Nedarim, when he could have said it doesn't say Ksiva al Havanim b'shivim Lashin. I mean, he could have said anything. What do you mean it doesn't say Nedarim? He was focusing on the fact that it does say Nedarim in exactly the same way that the suggestion is that it doesn't say Shabbos, but it does say Shabbos. So you explain to me what's going on over here. We're saying it doesn't say Shabbos when it does say Shabbos. And Reish Lakish is saying it doesn't say Nedarim when it obviously does say Nedarim. As a smichus, I mean, directly after Moadim, tell me something. When you read Parshas Pinchas, and then you start reading Parshas Matot, you're not thinking to yourself, what? Wait a minute. Weren't we just talking about the Karbonas and the Musafim and so on? How did we get to talk about Nedarim all of a sudden? So then it must be that it's contrasting the din of Eilam Moadei Hashem to the dinim of Shabbos and to the dinim of Nedarim. In what sense? Vamisitra Ktiva, right at the side, meaning right afterwards, that's precisely what it does talk about. Ah, says Rav Sheshes, you have touched exactly on the point, my dear Rav Asi bar Natan. And what it is that you're saying is what the Braita is focusing on. Hochi Katani, what it's trying to tell us is like this. Only Moadei Hashem Nemra, meaning vis-a-vis the halacha, that it says over here that Vayedaber Hashem El Moshe v'El Aharon. Oh, no, wait, Moshe v'Aharon. Those are like really important people, no? And it says specifically that it's supposed to be, Hashem tells Moshe, and you speak to Klal Yisrael, right? And it says, Vayidaber Moshe es Moadei Hashem El B'nei Yisrael. Now, this is fascinating because, I mean, Moshe and Aaron are about the biggest mumchim that you can imagine. As a matter of fact, we learn out from there that since it says Asher Tikra'u, who is Asher Tikra'u? You and Aaron. So in other words, the Pasuk is telling us, look, we need two people like Moshe and Aaron at least, right? And since Ein Best in Shakul, it means we need three people like Moshe and Aaron. But three people like Moshe and Aaron, good heavens. That is the ultimate smicha, right? So then it's telling us, wow, So you need to have a kedusha of best, and you can't have shalosh adyotas over here. You need the maximum in order to be makadosh asachodesh. So that's what it's coming to tell me. The more de Hashem lo nemar Shabbos imayim. That means that there is no din of kriya on Shabbos. Asher tikra'u otam. And therefore, what I'm trying to point out to you is that we're including Shabbos in terms of the Kedusha, but not in terms of the Kriya. And therefore, Moadei Hashem, they need a Kiddush in Beis Din. But Shabbat Bereshit does not need a Kiddush in Beis Din. Furthermore, Moadei Hashem, yes, that needs someone like Moshe V'Aaron. They are Tzrichim Mumcha. But Parshas Nedarim, which comes immediately afterward, we're being memayit from the word Eile. You see? That's a new miut. Eile Moadei Hashem. Eile Lafuke Mai. Lafuke Shabbat. Eile Moadei Hashem that ni tikru'u Moshe V'Aaron Lafuke Mai. Sasser Shalakish. Lafuke Nedarim. Oh man, oh man. So now we already have a completely new source for telling me that what we thought, namely that Rosh HaMatot means the top, can't possibly mean that because it says Eile Moadei Hashem and not Nedarim. Now here's where we get into the big issue in the Machlokas Rishonim. So we don't need what, if it says Eile? We don't need Moshe V'Aaron and a Beis Din of Moshe V'Aaron. So then why does it say Rosh HaMatot? For one. We do need Moshe V'Aaron. I'm confused. So then that would mean that the Rosh HaMatot are telling me that you must have a Samuch. If you don't have a Samuch, then you can have three people. But those three people don't have to be Moshe V'Aaron. They can be what? Any idiot? Or they can be a Rav that's Muvak. Three Rav that's Muvak and one Samuch. Uh-oh. So now we're back again. Wait a minute. So if we've got two categories, and it's given that in one of those categories, we're talking about Moshe V'Aaron, how did we go from a Yochid Mumcha, which now doesn't mean Mumcha, it means Yochid Somuch, all the way down to Hedyotas? So then that means that we need three categories, one of which that's created from the difference of what? If you don't hold of the interrelationship of the two parshas, then you don't have the interrelationship of Rosh HaMatot versus Kol Yisrael. So where do we get the new thing from? Now, the Ran suggests that we get the new thing from the fact that wherever the Torah wants to talk about someone who is Roy for Beis Din, what's the word that it uses? Does it say anywhere Rosh? No. It says Elohim. Because Elohim, wherever we're talking about Beis Din, the usage of the word Elohim in terms of Beis Din means that it's real din, and that's the Hashem, the Elohim, is nitzav ba'adat el, which is the kayach of Beis Din to give definitions. So then that means the moment I see this word, I say to myself, there's two things weird about this parsha. One is the Zeh HaDavar, and the other is that it says Rosh HaMatot. That's not normally enough to tell us the din of real smuchim. Must be that there's a din only of mumchim, who are very expert. So as the Rambam puts it, kol shehu rav muvhak matir yechidi, doesn't need to be a somuch. And that means that we really have three completely different areas that we have a right to apply this to. And therefore, those three areas are, when it comes to the Moadei Hashem, there we have the smuchim, because that's Asher Tikru'u Ata V'Aharon. That means that you need a Beis Din of three smuchim. When we come to the din of the Rosh HaMatot, then you would need, if it wouldn't be for the additional Zeh HaDavar comparison, you would need three mumchim, which are only Rav Muvak. Now that we also have the contrast, it comes to tell me, at least the way we have with the Gezeirah Shavah, it comes to tell me that three Hedyotas are also sufficient. So that means that the different Shitos over here, taking into consideration Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, are going to have quite a field day, as the Ran does. You see the nice Ran that you'll be able to learn over today, and you could see all of the possible variations according to the different shitot, but at least what we try to do in the Daf Yomi is to make ourselves aware of what psukim we're looking at, what the possibilities are, what the issues are, and then, of course, the way in which we end up understanding it, that is the mitzvah of every person, as the Rambam says, as the Gemara says, in which afata aseos nachaka fachesed lishmoa divrei amatirim divrei aosrim divrei aposim amachshirim divrei aposim divrei amachshirim divrei ametamim divrei ametarim, etc., etc. Fine. Then, as Rashi says, when you've learned all sugya, decide what you want in paskin like. Okay, so that part is the essential limud of Gemara. And this is to say, to be able to end up with being able to apply your own das to what it is that we've learned. Okay, continuing on. So therefore, we learn not from Moadei Hashem, only Moadei Hashem tzrichim mumcha, but ein parshas nedorim tzrichim mumcha. So what would that mean? Afilu beitin hediotot. Ah, how could that be if it says Roshei HaMatot? And here, this is the way Beit Shammai would see it. Amar Rav Chisvi Tem Rav Yochanan. True. But remember that we have two alternatives. We have Yochid and we have Bezdin. So Yochid Mumcha, yes. If you have three, then that could be a Bezdin Het Yotos. Amar Rav Chanina. Let me ask you something. Somebody is quiet. Now, the Torah gave the Baal either 24 hours, or he gave him yom, that's a machlokas, how to understand me, yom el yom, or the idea of the yom, b'yom shamo. Question. I see that somebody who is shotek, and he does not have in mind that he wants to be mekayim the neder. So we've got this interesting idea. If the guy doesn't respond, and it's the end of the day or the end of the time that was given to him, then the neder is automatically mekuyam. Now suppose a guy wants to torture his wife. So now she's gone ahead and made this neder, and he figures, okay, let her stew. So what does he do? He says to himself, I'm not going to tell her that I'm made for the neder. I'm just going to sit there and glower. So this is passive-aggressive responses for Nidorim, right? This is amazing Gemara. So according to Rav Chisda, the point of Rabbi Chanina, I'm sorry, according to Rabbi Chanina, the point of Hashotek is that it would have to be Hashotek with the idea of, well, it's not a bad thing. But what if Hashotek is exactly the opposite? This is disgusting. This is terrible. How did she do a thing like that? Let me make her suffer. Right? So classic. That's the idea. Passive aggressive. Say nothing. I don't talk. Why aren't you I don't talk. Well, what do you think of, I'm not going to tell you what I think. It's pretty clear what I think. And so on, right? This is like, well, I mean, obviously, if the Torah is coming to tell me the din of Ben Ish La Ishto, I mean, you're going to leave out passive aggressive from the whole story. That's brilliant, no? So, how could Shtika?
You may have no idea what Rebbe's talking about. Can you explain it again?
Who has no? Levia's there by your side, and she doesn't understand. So, this is the question, says Rebbe Chanina. If the shtika is not real shtika, it's just passive aggressivity, so then there's no din of mi yom o yom. I mean, as we know, passive aggressive can go on for a week, can go on for a month. So why would that be ipso facto hakoma? Oh gosh, is this marvelous. Anyway, so therefore, Tainas Rebbe Chanina, afil mikana sarayamim, I don't understand. I mean, you can't say that that's going to be the equivalent of anything. It's just a way of relating. Says the Gemara, whoa. I mean, like every case that we've had so far always talks about shtika. It doesn't talk about what kind of shtika. I mean, look, what are you going to do? We had in the Mishnah. Bisman shalosha mahabat. Oh, shishama vishatak. Notice that it doesn't say a word over here about a new type of shatak of passive aggressive. No, this is any kind of shatak, right? I mean, if Rabbi Hanina is right, this is a very fundamental distinction. So why doesn't it say it? And if, and it goes on to say, but if he was shama v'afer, umeit bo b'yom, shama v'kiyem, I'm sorry, or shama v'shatak, umeit b'yom shalachrov, in yachol ha'afer. And it does not say one word about the quality and intent of the shtika. So I understand, it's clearly telling you that even in the event, my love, b'shotek amanat l'meikat, that he's being passive-aggressive. No. It's talking about that he was shotek in order to be Mekayim. What? If he's in order to be Mekayim, then it said that. O shama v'kiyem? I mean, didn't we say that he was Mekayim? You can always be Mekayim. You can even be Mekayim belave. So then you're not adding anything. If his intent in being quiet was to let her stew by being Mekayim the netter, which is what you're claiming, that that's not called passive-aggressive, that's called being Mekayim, but it is Mekayim. Is that called Mekayim? Is that my default Mekayim? It means I'm going to teach her a lesson because I want her to suffer with the netter. That's called Kiyim. So why does it say twice the same thing? Shatak, and you're saying Shatak means you want it to be Mekayim. O Kiyim, the same thing. It can't mean that. It's the exact equivalent of Shema V'Kiyem, for heaven's sakes. You're right. But there's a third type of shtika. B'shotek stam. In order to start talking about intentionality in the shtika, we would have to open up a can of worms. The Mishnah is not interested in opening up that can of worms. So it takes shtika in the simplest format. He's got 24 hours or until the end of the day to consider this, okay? So right now he hasn't made up his mind. He is shatak. He died before coming to a conclusion, and therefore he was neither Mekayim nor Mefer. What's so bad about that? I mean, that's the simple meaning of it. Why in the world would we translate the pasuk to mean that the husband who doesn't go out and say something, but that would mean automatic? Obviously, it means he has time. And that time consists of up until the end of the day or for 24 hours, but he's got to make up his mind. And if he doesn't make up his mind, so then we have a default. But if he really had intent in being quiet to be Mekayim, we already said Kiyim B'Lev is Kiyim. And if he has intentionality to make her suffer but has no interest in the netter, so then why would we apply the din of the time that's given to him to make up his mind when he has not yet started and even he's not thinking about it? He already knows he wants to be made for, he wants her to suffer. Therefore, I taina that you can't bring a raya. Masiv Rav Chista. Chomer ba'akeim mi ba'afer o ba'afer mi ba'akeim. So Rav Chista asks against this tremendous chiddush of there being a new type of shtika, which is not considered to be part of the shtika in the Parshas in the Dor. It's an amazing chiddush. And he asks from the Braisa. Chomer behakem behafer u behafer mi behakem. We can look at both dinim, that the Baal is given hakama and the Baal is given the rights to hafara. In some sense, we are machmer more in the hakama than in the hafara. And in some sense, it's the opposite. We also are more machmer with hafara than we are with hakama. Let me show you what I mean. Chomer behakem. The Torah is more machmer and hakama. Why? Because you can be makim by default. And that is by just being quiet. So hashtika is mekayim. But as we said before, being quiet is not enough to be mavatel. You have to say that I am made for your netter. Or you can do an act. You could say, have a drink. If she had asert scotch in our fundamental case, right? So then you could say, okay, to leave is shti. And that's not considered to be shtika because that is backed by an action. So in that sense, it's easier. We could be machmer on the netter to be makayim it by default, but we do not have that concept of bitul. Kiyem belibo, and if you just think in your heart, I want this netter, it's automatically mikuyam. But if you're mefer belibo, ain't no mufar. Now, in one sense, they're the same. Kiyem eno yachol la'afer. hafer eno yochol kayem. In that sense, it's the same. Fine. All right, we'll see the rest of the bright. We haven't seen the opposite yet, right? That we'll see tomorrow. But meanwhile, what is the kasha of Rav Chista on Rav Chanina? Kasha is like this, that when it says over here, shashtika mikayemet, and it says ashtika mikayemet separately from kiyem bilibo kiyem, right? Okay, so what does that mean? To me, it means that even a shtika, which is in order to be aggressive, that is enough to be mekayem, which is against Rav Chanina. Because my love, it's got to be talking about bishotek amanat lameka. You're just trying to hurt her. No, what makes you think that? Maybe it means you're shotek because you like the netter. You're shotek because you like the netter. That was the next word. It says, kiyem belibo kiyem. So that's a given. Then that's not default. The point of the default is that you think you're being passive-aggressive and you're basically really being Mekayim Hernander, which is not like Rabbi Chanina, says Rabbi Chista, right? No, not right. Because we already explained that it applies here as well. There is such a thing as being shotek in the sense of make her suffer because I want her to have the neder. That's called kiyem belibo. There's such a thing as kiyem, according to Rabbi Chanina, which is not pointed out here, but which is certainly a new type of shtika, which is passive-aggressive. And then there's the shtika of making up your mind, which is the parshat shtika. That's called shtika stam. And that's what we're referring to, that if you can't make up your mind, then you've basically been mekayim the neder if you haven't actually been made for the neder by the end of the day. So therefore, it's not the same as kiyem belibo. Kiyem belibo is positive. Shtika is default. And then there's the other idea, in which it's lameikat. That's not included under the shtika of the Torah, and therefore this is no kasha to Rabbi Chanina. Now, as far as the other side of the braita is concerned, which is, okay, but you didn't tell me in what way chomer hefer mibahakem. That you didn't tell me.